me to the book of Esther, Esther chapter 3. Esther chapter 3. It's good to have everybody in the house of God today. I want to begin our reading of verse number 1. Esther chapter 3. Verse number 1, it says, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Go into the book of Esther, just one chapter over, and this time we're going to go down to verse number 7. It's transpired and got down to here. It says, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, and to show it to Esther, and declared unto her, and to charge her that she would go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. Going down to verse number 11 of the same chapter. And the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called, says Esther, to come into the king these 30 days. Verse number 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou hast come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather together all the Jews that are in present in Shushan, and fast for me, and neither eat nor drink these 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Jesus, we love you today. We're thankful. Thankful for the Holy Ghost. God, we feel it so strong here today. You're in this place today, and we ask you, God, that you would allow our ears to hear, our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us. God, we do surrender to you today. We give you our hearts. We give you this time today that we've taken and dedicated to you. I ask, God, that you touch us today. Allow the Holy Ghost to move and to manifest in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to preach to you a message this afternoon titled, Gaining Access to the King. Gaining Access to the King. In our lives, there may be a time that comes, or there may have even already come a time when You were invited as a special guest to an event that will host celebrities, or that will have among the guests a person of royalty, or it's simply maybe you who was requested to attend either as a witness or the one called to appear before a magistrate at a specific trial. Whatever the circumstance, you have been called to attend a specific event. However, for you to be a part of such an event, in many cases there are and there would be a set out a list of requirements that must be met on or before the event is to take place, such as a dress code or proof of identification, a copy of the invitation, and even the need of a personal screening, which might include a background check. What I'm saying is it is very unlikely that on the date set that you wouldn't be able to just walk into such an event without having completed the requirements given to you prior to your walking through the door. You'd be stopped. You'd be asked to either provide the information or the requirements. Had you fulfilled them? Have you done that? You'd be held back. And you say, well, no, I was invited. And do you have any proof of such an invitation? And maybe a reason for a security clearance might be required along with other necessary checks on your personal background is so that you will have been cleared for the event. And upon your arrival, you would not be turned away. You ever gone in? And I'm sure you have. You've gone into the schools around town during time of voting, and you walk in, and what do they want to see? They want to see your identification. They want to know that if you live in this jurisdiction and if you have a right, and they will slide down their ruler till they find your name matching to your place where your residence is, and then you go ahead and vote. If you just walked in and said, I'm here to vote, and I know who I'm going to vote for, and that's just who it is. And you say, well, who are you? I didn't bring my identification today. I didn't take the time. I live in such and such a place. And they're going to say, if we don't have any record of your name, you can just turn around and you can walk right out that back door. So this afternoon, I shared with you the story or the account of Queen Esther, who was a Jew, who, along with her people, at the crafty hands of a man named Haman, were facing the threat of death because Haman hated the Jews. And he hated them primarily because of a man named Mordecai, who was also a Jew, and he, Mordecai, refused to pay Haman reverence. He only gave reverence and homage to one, and that was none other than God. In this biblical account, in order for Queen Esther to be able to save herself and the rest of her people who were Jews, she, Esther, somehow would have to come and to be able to gain access to the king as he sat upon his throne in that royal palace. In this particular circumstance, Queen Esther had not been invited to go see the king. And the significance of this was, as we read this afternoon, is by her attempting to go before the king uninvited. This quite literally could be what cost Queen Esther her head, her life. You walk in, you're not invited, the guards would immediately just take it off, kill you right where you stood. See, even though he said, well, she was queen, even though she was queen, this still did not give her the right to just walk into the throne room before the king. For such an occasion to occur, Esther would either have to have been summoned or Esther would need to be granted such a right by nothing other than a supernatural intervention in her desire to want to save not just herself, but her people as well. Didn't matter what was in Esther's heart. Didn't matter how urgent or dire the need in her life was. She had, one way or another, had to be granted this access. I couldn't walk in there and say, Haman, he's trying to kill us. He's trying to kill our people. He hates everybody. And I'm a Jew, and we're all going to die. That was not going to meet the requirement. So knowing this, Esther had called for her people to fast and no doubt to pray for God's favor to be given to her on the day that she would go in before the king. And it was Esther who in this time petitioned God in a spirit of humility. Esther knew that in her heart, that her heart had to be right and her motive had to be pure if she was to obtain God's favor. Think about that for just a moment. I want to obtain God's favor. I want God to hear my cry. I want him to listen to the cry from the depths of my heart. And it was as Esther stepped out in faith, she made her way to the palace and she stood at the door to the throne room before the king. I want you to know this afternoon, even though we've read the scripture, Esther didn't have any promises, no promises at all. She relied on the existence of her pure faith. I'm just going to trust God. What did she say? If I go before the king and I die, I perish, then I perish. But this has got to be done. You ever get to the place in your life where you get downright desperate and you need to gain an entrance, an audience with the king? I want access. I want to get there. I want God to hear what's going on in my life. I want God to know the need that rests inside of my heart. I want God to hear my prayer. I want God to pay attention to my petition. I want God to be the one who answers me, who takes the time to stop, and who invites me into his throne room, invites me, and gives me his ear to hear. As Esther stood at the door to the throne room, it was God who had gone before her and given her favor with the king, to where the king extended his scepter to her, giving Esther access to the king. In Esther chapter 5, if you're still there, with all that the queen Esther had done and her people had done in preparation for this day, this is what paid off. Esther chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1, it says, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, and she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in his royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near, and she touched the top of that scepter. Then the king said unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of my kingdom.'" In Esther's dire circumstance, it was necessary whether or not she had been invited to see the king. Rather, it was all that she and her people, the Jews, had done and been willing to do in preparation for the coming of such a day. And my purpose this afternoon in sharing this message thought with you, this is to seek to impart to you what it is that I believe is required of us as a people to be able to gain access to the king. Not an earthly king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the book of Revelation, you'll find where John the Revelator declares in Revelation 22 and verse number 17. Revelation 22, verse number 17, the Revelator writes, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let him that heareth say, 'Come.' And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." What this verse declares is anyone, sinner or saint, invited or uninvited, can come. They can come and they can seek access to the king. But what it is that I desire to share with you this afternoon is what I believe that we as a people should seek to both understand as well as to comprehend, how that in our coming, in our desire to gain access to the king, being Jesus, there are certain requirements and certain conditions that must first be met prior to any one of us making our way to Jesus Christ. You'll find, as far as Queen Esther was concerned, I believe that if she had not prepared, if she had not sought that of a supernatural intervention from God, it could very well have been Esther who would have been the one to lose her head in her life and her desire to gain access to the king. What's so important? Why? Well, you're the queen. Just go talk to him. Just knock on his door. Stand in front of him. Wave. And hopefully he'll give you audience. I don't believe that would have been the case. If she would not have prepared, the people would have not have fasted and prayed with her, if they wouldn't have gone to that greater extent, she would have lost her life that day. I'm not up here saying to you that you're coming to God that, you know, you're going to lose your head or you're going to lose your life. But what I am saying to you is in your seeking to not only gain access to the King as well as God's favor in and for your life, how you approach God's throne and what it is that you do in preparation for such a time where you seek God, there are things that can help to place your needs, your desires in the forefront of the mind of God, simply because of the way you approached Him. As gaining the access and by seeking the favor of God that is determined by exactly how it is that you in your life who chose to approach His throne. In the book of Psalms, chapter 51, you'll find after David the king had sinned and having committed adultery with Bathsheba, and after it was God who, through the prophet Nathan, exposed David's sin to him. It wasn't just the fact that King David had sinned, but it had everything to do with how David approached God's throne of grace as he sought God's forgiveness that made all the difference in his life. You can read, if you want to turn there with me, to the book of Psalms, chapter 51, how David did, and David had approached God, not only seeking for God's forgiveness, but I believe that David also sought once again to be able to, as he had done before, to gain access to his King. David, the Bible says, was a man that was after God's own heart. They had a personal relationship. They had a time where he would commune with God, and he wrote all those beautiful psalms and love psalms and all things that he, and the worship and praise that he gave to God. He didn't want just forgiveness. He didn't want God just to cover this one up and take care of it. I think he wanted to regain that access that maybe he felt in his heart that he had lost. You know, you get into our lives, and we live for God for a little while and maybe even a time, and for some reason or another, we and reasons of the room, we fall away, or we become cold. We get to the place where we kind of drift away from God, and we get out of that place where, you know, you'd be able to walk into church and begin to sing the songs of Zion, and the Holy Ghost would just begin to move, and I call them doodads going up and down your backbone, and you feel the presence of God so quick and ready, and you, well, now you come back, and you know, and you're in the presence of God, and you, so you pray and you cry and you begin to seek Him, and it feels like your prayers maybe are chalk dust, and it feels like really nothing's happening in your life, and that God's really not responding, and thinking, God, I need you to forgive me, and I don't just need you to forgive me. I want to feel what I used to feel. I want that Spirit of Christ inside of me to be like a river of living water outflowing from my soul. And I want to be able to feel the Shekinah glory of God as it moves in this place. I want to feel God as the Holy Ghost as it used to be. We'd kind of scrape it off the walls because it was so thick, and we'd be in your presence, and time would fly by. And we think it would just be moments of time. That's what I'm looking for. And I believe that's what the spirit that David, pardon me, was in, what David in his life was looking for. The question could be asked, does it really matter how we as a people seek to gain access to the King? The answer is a resounding yes. It absolutely matters how we begin to approach our King. According to the Bible, it's we who've sinned. It's humanity as a whole that has turned their back upon God. So in order for any one of us to make any attempt of our looking to gain access to the King, again, how we attempt it and what it is that we do in the process is what will make a whole lot of difference in our bid to do it. Using David as an example, this afternoon in Psalms 51, we find David humbly making his approach to God's throne of grace, and by his not passing off nor making excuses as to what it was that he had done. In verse number 2 of chapter 51 of Psalms 51, you'll find David cries out, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You say, they wouldn't have made me do it if they wouldn't have made me angry. If he or she or they would have done what they did, maybe I wouldn't have reacted in that way. But it has nothing to do with that. When you come before God, what you got to do is say, "God, look at me. Here's the mirror. I'm looking at myself. myself. I want you to forgive me. It doesn't matter what they do. They're going to make their own lives right with you. Today, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Today, it's me that's looking for an answer. Today, right now, God, it's me who's willing to say, cleanse me from mine iniquity and wash me from my sin. It doesn't matter who you are, maybe how long you've been living for God, the process of our approaching and seeking to gain access to God is the same. When we come before God, it is and it should be in a spirit of humility. That's prayer you're seeking God's favor and his mercy. As you first and foremost should be the one to look on the inside of your heart, if it needs to be you. Maybe inside of your heart you say, it needs to me to be the one to repent. I gotta repent. Maybe, you know what the Bible says, is submit to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. Maybe before we think about gaining access to the king, think, wait, let's stop right here now. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to do what I did. I didn't mean to walk away. I didn't mean to upset you, God, and to turn my back on you, even though you've never turned your back on me. I'm sorry. Psalms 51, verse 17, you'll find where David declares the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Sacrifices of God, a broken spirit and a broken, a contrite heart. God's not going to look at you and laugh because you're crying, because you're sorry. You're broken on the inside, and he sees that. My Bible says that God loves me with an everlasting love. The thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end. When I come before him, and when I begin to be broken before him, I don't think God goes like this and turns his back. I think he looks at you, maybe, I don't know, I can't prove this biblically, but maybe there's tears in his eyes, or maybe there's just a swelling in his heart saying, finally, child, you've turned back. You're making your way back to me. But I also believe that God will not receive us if we carry inside of our heart a haughty or a proud spirit or an attitude that says, I deserve to be granted access to the king. It's my right. And I'll say to whoever would think that thought, wrong. It's not your right. Peter writes in his first epistle of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 6, this is what Peter writes. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You mean it? You're not sorry you got caught. You mean it? You know, you've come to me, you've asked me to forgive you, and you know, you're not going to do a 360, walk out the church door, and go right back to that sinful life you've been living, but you mean it? You're going to turn around, and you mean you're sorry. This is you humble yourself before God, and guess what? In due time, maybe the next time you come back, or you kneel down and pray in that morning time before you head off to work, that's your kind of glory of God meets you in your room. You feel God in the car. You start speaking in tongues as you walk into your workplace. You go out on your break and you just start crying before God, lifting your hands. He's exalting you. He's picking you back up. He's letting you know that you're serious, and so am I. It was both Esther and David in their hearts and in their life circumstance knew what would be required of them and their desire to gain access to the king. Esther had a desperate need. And David, we all know that he had sinned. Let me tell you something. When you're sick, maybe when your child's sick, somebody that you love very dear to you is sick, there's a serious circumstance going on. And it means a lot to you. You know what you got to do. You know that you just can't say, Jesus, touch him in Jesus' name and walk out that door. Oh, no. You know, you're going to get on your knees and say, heal my baby. God, don't take my baby from me. Don't let that happen to me. Don't let my mother, my father, whoever it is that I'm praying for, don't let them slip out of your hands into eternity. God, it's serious. See, Esther knew that her family, not only her family, her father's house, all the Jews, that Haman wanted to kill them all. He wanted them destroyed. It was, you want to read that story in Esther? There was $10,000, I think, that he offered to put into the treasury. Just give me power to destroy those people, those wicked people who do not reverence me. I'll tell you what happened in Esther's life. She got down to business, as we read. She understood exactly what she needed to do. And David, well, David, he got the same idea. Psalms 51, you read through that whole entire chapter, you're going to see a man that was broken, a man that realized, you know what? I committed adultery. I should have been out as a king, should have been out to battle. I stayed home. I looked off my roof. I saw that woman bathing herself. She was another man's wife, and I brought her to me, and I impregnated her. I did what was wrong. And Nathan came back and he talked a little story about a ewe lamb and all this kind of stuff. And David rises up in his fury, says that man's going to die. He's going to pay for it. And he goes on with all kind of judgment what he's going to do. And Nathan stops and he looks him right in the eyes. And he said, behold, thou art the man. Listen, you good for nothing prophet, I'm going to kill you where you stand. Run you through and take you up to the garbage dump and throw you off. No. How did you find out? What happened? God told you. God was there. You see, sometimes I think we believe in our hearts, well, I'm going to go up there and sin. I'm going to do this or that. I'm going to get away with something I know I shouldn't be doing. And God's not going to know. Well, I'm sorry. God was probably already there knowing the thoughts that you were thinking. He knew it was in your heart already. And so there, Nathan, when he addressed him, David didn't get haughty and proud in his spirit. I'm the king, and who do you think you are talking to me? No, he penned Psalms 51, and he got down his face, and he said, I want to gain access to the king, but as long as that sin's unforgiven in my heart, as long as I'm the one that sits out there thinking maybe I'm somebody, come, I'm a king, and I can get away with it. That's not how he approached God. Every one of us that are here, new to God or not, in our desire to gain access to the King or to be the recipients of His as God's mercy and grace, what is required for us to approach God's throne is to come in the same manner as Esther and David did, in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of shamefacedness, maybe in a spirit of repentance, maybe in a spirit of God. You got to hear my cry today. You got to hear my cry today, God. This is serious. This is going to happen. I'm going to share this today, and I hope the man never listened to this message online. I'll tell you something that's really burdened my heart. There's a young lady that's out there in her 30s, a little bit younger than my kids. She's a pastor's daughter. And her life has gone from bad to worse to bad to even worse. And this young lady is just hanging as a thread on her of her life. She's just barely there. And you say, God, why haven't you stepped in? What seems to be the problem? And I'm sure she's gone, her name's gone before the worldwide network of prayer. And that's great. You know, the Bible also speaks about if there's any two that can agree on touching any one thing, anything that they ask shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven. So I prayed for her, and I prayed for her. I don't take the guilt. I didn't do anything really bad, but I've been praying for her, and then I kind of forgot. You know, you ever forget? Forget about little Levi? That little boy today could barely get up. He's just a child. He's just a little boy. And so I forgot, and then I got a call from her dad, and we were chatting. He said, you know, the other night she almost choked to death. She found when going to her kitchen, she had stuff. She couldn't even eat food. And so she stuck this straw down her throat to get a little bit of air into her lungs. I'm not trying to be crude. And then she was able to call 911. If it wasn't for that straw and that opportunity, he said she would have suffocated and died right on the kitchen floor. And I thought, you know, this is serious. This isn't something we just bypass. This isn't some girl that you throw off to the sidelines and say, oh, I need a little bit more money. I look to have a raise, or I wouldn't mind going out for dinner today, some. No, this was serious. And so I have been praying for her in the morning and the afternoon and at night, and oftentimes in church I'll mention this girl's name and I'll bring her name before us as a church. Why? Because I think this is dire. This is just like an Esther issue, and it's just not something that you throw out there. And so when you get in your heart to the place where you realize this is a need that's got to be met, I have got to gain access access to the king. You know what? I'm a nobody. I'm just one person, probably out of hundreds. But you know, could it be my prayer? Could it be our voice? Could it be we as a people crying out to God that finally gets into that throne room and that scepter is extended, and maybe one of us in prayer reaches out and touches the top and says, God, heal her. Well, what if it's God's desire to take her? That's God. Nobody knows the mind of God or the thoughts of God. He's sovereign, and God does what he wants. But bless God, I'm going to do all that I can do in my humanity to be there for this little girl and many others. So whether or not your life is caught up in the clutches of sin, or it's used like circumstances that calls for you to seek access to the king, whether for forgiveness, for God's divine favor in your life, as I said before, you as you do it, as you approach him, it do you good first to ensure that your heart as well as your spirit and attitude are in the right place, so that in your desire to gain access to the king, you, my friend, will not be turned away. What I'm saying to you is this: if you don't take the time to prepare before seeking such access to the king, there's no written rule in our Bible that says God must take the time to hear or listen to our prayers or to meet our needs. You do it or else. God, you do it or else. That's not how we approach him. Solomon, the writer of the book of Proverbs, you want to turn there? Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. You find it says, these things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. As a child of the king, being new to God or having lived for God for any number of years and gaining access to the king, we or you really must have fulfilled the requirements set out in the word of God, and you must be willing to take the necessary steps so that you will be granted access. Speaking of access, or our right to such access, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 7. Proverbs 16, verse 7, the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In order for you to please God, a good start is for you not to hold any ill regard towards another. By your having a right spirit and attitude, the proper conditions of your soul that not only will allow you to live happily in this world, but as you seek to please God every day that you live, in doing God's will, by obeying God's word, this I want you to know is a surefire way for your prayers and your petitions, as well as your needs, to be offered you a direct access to God, as well as to God's divine favor and his mercy and his grace, giving you access to the king. If you would be so kind to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I want to begin at verse number 9. Luke 18 and verse 9. That he is speaking of Jesus. It says, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The publican stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. As it's you who walks down maybe the corridors of your mind filled with questions. The message I believe that God is wanting to impart to you this day is by your having a spirit likened unto Esther and David, and by you in your life clearing the way before you by doing all that you know to do in your desire to gain access to the King as far as we as humanity are concerned in this natural life. This is and remains to be the only way that we can ever expect to be able to literally gain full access to the King. I believe I've been around a long time now, long enough to I get this point. We get to the place where we become entitled. You know, let the new ones do it. Let the new ones cry out to God. Let the new ones make their way to the altar. And let the new ones beg and grovel. You see, I've already arrived. I'm a professional Pentecostal. I'm a child of the King for years now, and I know the ropes. I know what to do. That don't change one iota, because you can sin. You can fall. You can get your life into a situation where you really need to gain access to the King. And whether that person comes to God, just like we read today in the story in Luke, that man, he said, God, just be merciful to me, a sinner. I am not coming here haughty and proud. I'm not coming here telling you what I know and all that I can do. And I'm rich or like that other fellow was. And I can throw in the extra change and just walk out of here in my pious attitude. No, I got to turn that around and say, no, God, you know, there's nothing that says you've got to answer me or listen to me until I get to the place where I'm broken. I get to the place where I'm willing to say, God, it's all about you and it's not about me. We read of late, book of Isaiah, if you want to turn there, chapter 59. Read of late where the Bible says in the book of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save, and neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. In our accessing the King of our soul, along with his God's favor and mercy and grace, it'll always be our personal disposition, the condition of our soul, as well as our attitude and how we approach our King, that has everything to do with whether or not such a request is either granted or denied. Are you telling me today, preacher, God tell me no? He wouldn't dare tell me no. I tell you today, you don't come before the King the right way, he's going to look you right in the face, so to speak, and tell you no. There's scripture in the Bible that says he'll turn his back on you, he'll turn away from you. You straighten that up. You think that if David would have gone before God and said, look, I'm King. Made a mistake like everybody else. Do you know who I am? You know who you're talking to? I say, I know exactly who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to you. In asking God to fill you with the Holy Ghost and seeking the will and the way of God for your life and so much more in concerns to our lives by your understanding what it is that God looks for in us to respond to us will be what makes a whole lot easier for you to obtain all that you want to attain in God. As each step in the process of our coming to God, our petitioning God, and our seeking God's divine favor, all of this has everything to do with how we attempt to gain such access to our King. I preached to you this past Wednesday night a message titled, Who's Waiting on Who? Here again today, the same thought and intent I want you to know applies. As you seek to gain access to God and all that your King has awaiting for you, having a spirit again like Esther and possessing a disposition such as David are surefire ways for you to see God extend his scepter to you. It's a way for you to see that things will turn around. You come before me with a humble heart, with a broken heart, with a dire need. I'll hear you. I'll extend it to you. I'll offer for you to come. As I turn the corner this afternoon and I head for a closed church, if it's you who's come and whose heart desires to gain access to the King, whether for a touch in your body, whether it's you who desire for God to pour upon you the gift of the Holy Ghost, or maybe to meet your need of a refreshing, a renewing in your life, maybe one you haven't felt for years. As today we've gathered within our hearts, I believe that there is a reason in your coming other than just being in this service today. If it's you who longs to finally be able to gain access to the King, I believe under the inspiration and the unction of the Spirit of God this day, I want you to know that the Spirit of God is here where two or three are gathered together in His name. The Bible says He is in the midst. And I believe it's God is willing today to not just give you, but to grant you access to His kingdom. He's willing to let you into His throne room and to give you whatever it is that you're seeking God for. I believe under the right spirit and attitude, as the Bible declares, I can boldly go and come before that throne of grace. I can walk right into that throne room because I know my heart. I know my motive. I know the desire, and I know that God loves me and wants to hear me. And so if you're seeking more than just a touch, if you seek both favor and mercy from your King and you're ready in your heart to approach His throne with the right spirit and attitude, I'm going to invite you in just a few minutes to come to this altar, and I want you to come and I want you to begin to pray and to petition God from the depths of your heart, having cleared the way for God to extend His scepter to you. Yeah. All I can say, if you're ready and you're ready to do this, then get ready because God is about to open full access to His throne. Would you stand together with me today? See, whatever you've come to receive, if you need the Holy Ghost, if you've already said you need a refreshing, renewed of the Spirit of God in life, there is a need in your heart for God's divine favor in your life. In the next few moments of time, all you've got to do to get anything that stands in your way, get it out. Right now, you could be saying, God, forgive me. If there's something wrong in me, my spirit's not right, I want you to forgive me. Get it out of the way if you're gaining access to the King today. Then in the spirit of faith, believing, just step out in faith so God can grant you what it is, the access that you're looking for. Come on, friends, saints, today, whatever it is that you need, I want you to know I'm opening this altar to you now. You can come to this altar. You can step out. Swallow that pride and step out of that comfort zone and say, I'm coming right up here. Why? I need to hear from God. I want God to speak to me, God to hear me specifically. I believe all that you desire to receive from God lies within your grasp. Instead of God saying, access denied, if you're ready, if your heart's right, instead of being denied, it's going to be God who step into your personal world and He's going to grant you access. I ask you today, don't go home the way that you came. In Jesus' name. Would you pray? Would you